Yeah, friends, it is great to be together. And well, I love the day of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is the kind of the weekend and then the season where we meditate on the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the gift of faith that comes from Him. And, you know, so much on that first kind of Pentecost pouring out the Spirit is hard to articulate. And I really love that. It kind of points to the fact that it's kind of hard for us today even to articulate those finer points, perhaps, of how the Spirit kind of fills us and what that feels like to be connected to the life of Jesus through Him. They use words kind of like, hey, it feels like the rushing of wind into our lives. It almost feels like we're being pushed in certain directions. Or it sort of feels like we're being filled with this kind of peace, but also this ability to maybe communicate and speak into the lives of the people around us, something that is helpful. You know, it feels like tongues of fire. You know, in the Scriptures, this fire is often this kind of consuming thing where if you're too close to the fire, you know, you get burned. But because of the holiness of Jesus and the way that His righteousness covers them, that fire doesn't consume them. And so there's all of these ways of kind of articulating what is it like when the Holy Spirit kind of fills us up, right? But one of the things that those first communicators of the gospel, right, made sure that we understood is that when the Holy Spirit fills us with His presence, right, He opens our mouths to speak and He fills us with His words. This is our verse for today. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. See, what we don't understand about the Holy Spirit is made up for by what we do know. And what we do know is that words are often the vehicle of the Holy Spirit. He gave Peter and the other apostles the ability to speak in different languages to those gathered there about the unfolding plan of God's salvation through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit led then more than 3,000 people to hear that message of salvation and to respond in faith by being baptized and committing their lives to following after Jesus. And this is remarkable. This is a miracle, if for no other reason than the fact that people learned a brand new language in the drop of a hat. I don't know about you, but I have tried to learn new languages, and it is challenging, right? I remember in high school, I took French, and I tried to learn French. The ratio of boys to girls was really good in French class, and so I was like, we could try this, right? And after maybe like 2 years of high school French, I think I only know how to say two things for sure. And one of them is, je m'appelle Ben, right? Actually, it's a funny story, but on the first day of French class, she was like, hey, Ben is not a very French-sounding name, so you should probably pick like a new name, right? So just despite that, I picked Edward. It's like, not, like, is that better? Is that more French for you? So I know how to say je m'appelle Edward, and I know how to say je ne sais pas français. I don't know how to speak French. And what often happens in French class then is that we would just say English words with a French accent, or what we thought was a French accent. Can I go to the bathroom? Comme ça, perhaps? You know, and it didn't get much better in college. I thought, maybe French isn't my language. Let's do Spanish. Not great. I will say, though, I got much better in graduate school and seminary when we had to learn Greek. It's a biblical Greek. It's Koine Greek. It's a dead language, so you don't speak it to each other. You translate it, and some of us translate it more slowly than others, but we do our best, right? We translate. And it occurs to me that I think many Christians kind of take this same sort of approach today with their faith when it comes to speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? That it's hard, that we don't really know what to say or kind of how to say it. And we feel like we're maybe just being imposters, sort of impersonating the sort of, you know, language, the accent, but we don't really know the words to say. And so I think many of us just sort of give up and say, look, it's just not my gift to speak. It would be better if I just didn't speak about my faith at all, right? But there's a presupposition that the scripture points us towards, and it's that when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, they are led to speak. That every human being is designed and created to come alive in the presence of God and to speak a new language. But it's not a human language necessarily. It's the language of the gospel. It's the language of faith. And you might say, like, what is the point? What good could come from me kind of stumbling my way through talking about my faith, kind of getting some things right, maybe getting some things wrong. I don't know, not really doing so well with that. So I just want to ask, have you ever gone to like an art show, like a gallery? Perhaps a friend took you to one, and you went. We just had one out here for our preschoolers. We had the walls of our commons were just lined with their artwork, wall to wall. And again, these just brilliant, young, you know, creatives. I love Pablo Picasso says, all children are artists. The problem is how to remain one as you get older, right? There's just this genius of children. And so often, right, you just sort of walk around the gallery. I know we were doing this for our preschoolers, and you get it. You get like, yeah, that's clouds. You know, those are like spongy hearts. I get that, right? But then every once in a while, and the parents kind of start showing up, and the grandparents start showing up, and you move around in clusters, and you stand in front of one of the pieces that they did. It's like a group of things, and you're just sort of looking at each other, and nobody wants to say what we're all thinking, right? You're just like, who's going to say it? Are you going to say it? What is that? Right? And so you start guessing. You know, you're like, art. We all know that art is just paintings of horses, right? So I guess it's just horses. Or maybe it's giraffes, and they go, no, it's a spider. And you go, oh, it's the best spider. It's so good. Way to go, right? But oftentimes we have to kind of have the piece of art sort of interpreted for us. And it doesn't matter necessarily if it's a preschooler's kind of spider, or if it's Picasso's abstractions, or if it's Pollock's fractals. All art is an interpretation of reality. It's an interpretation of what matters to the artist. And so if we look carefully, art exposes the soul of the artist themselves. Right? And that means that part of what art is that it's sort of this discovery of meaning. Right? But I know, perhaps for myself, maybe you're like me, I've seen art, and I've seen, like, for instance, films where I've watched the whole thing, and I have no idea what it's about. And I couldn't tell you what that larger theme or, you know, thing that they're trying to communicate and express is. And what's so interesting is we don't blame the piece of art. We begin to think that the artist didn't know what he or she was doing either. We begin to think that the director maybe really didn't have a bigger point to this movie at all. Maybe it was just, you know, for fun or something. And see, this is what the Spirit is speaking through believers. That the God who created the universe spoke all things into existence. That he speaks and there was light. And he speaks and there was existence. And he speaks, there was life on this earth. And when God speaks, beautiful things are created. And that same voice, that same power that speaks into this ever-expanding universe speaks into our hearts and transforms our hearts and our minds into something beautiful as well by unleashing that power of the Spirit. And that same Spirit that wants to speak into your soul about what is true and what is good in you also wants to speak through you to a hurting world. Because every human being is an interpreter of life. And some people's interpretation of life does not leave room for a good and gracious God. Think about how often you look at a person and you think that they're entirely misrepresenting religion. Right? And you just want to say, like, look, it's not that your story is wrong. It's your interpretation of the story. Right? Maybe they interpret their life through a belief that God is a God of wrath and anger, condemnation, just a rule maker. And that's what they interpret their whole lives through. Or maybe some people who interpret their life through a belief that they're just not very lovable because of things that have happened to them in their past, or maybe things that they've done in their past. Surely a God who sees everything could never feel grace toward me. Is it possible that God wants every moment of suffering, every moment of anguish, every broken heart, every pain, everything that human beings have ever experienced to be reinterpreted through faith in Jesus? When we interpret life through faith, we see a God who is just as heartbroken by sin as we are. We see a God who sent his Son to give his life so that we would know the redemption that comes in his name. Is it possible that the Holy Spirit fills you up, not just so that you can experience this reinterpretation of your life, but so that he can open your mouth and he can speak those words of life through you to a hurting person? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And they kept speaking. When God seemed distant or unconcerned, they kept speaking about a God that they believed could be called Father, who had created the heavens and the earth with intention and purpose. When they experienced tragedy, when they saw the way that injustice ravaged the lives of people, they continued to speak about a Son. And I believe in this Jesus Christ, his only Son, who can be our Lord. He was conceived by a Holy Spirit. He was born of a Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. He descended into hell, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day, and now he ascends into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And when we experience injustice, we know that he is the rightful judge who will come again to judge the living and the dead. When they cease people who got tired and weary trying to do what is right and feeling resistance at every turn, they continued to speak. And they said, I believe in this Holy Spirit, this giver of life who gives us the holy Christian church, this community of believers who holds us up when we are tired, who provides for our needs, this larger communion of saints. You may not feel like a saint, but I believe that you are a saint. And when it looked like there was no way out, they continued to speak. They said, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe in a new day. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. and the life of the world to come. See, that's what the Holy Spirit comes to do through the creeds and through the songs that we sing, certainly through the reading of Scripture, through the liturgy that we speak to each other. He reshapes our imagination. He teaches us to speak. Again, he doesn't just come to fill you with faith. He comes to open your mouth and fill you with his words. So that through you, he can transform not just your lives, not just your hearts, but the lives of those around you who will hear the words that you speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of the Holy Spirit who fills us with faith and empowers us to speak your truth. As we celebrate Pentecost, remind us of this miracle where your Spirit enabled the apostles to share the gospel in many languages and help us to embrace this same Spirit, to interpret our lives through faith in Jesus and to boldly share your love and hope with a hurting world. Father, open our hearts and our minds to your word and guide our voices to proclaim your salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.